Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suite. Several recent studies have highlighted the rapid growth of gastrointestinal diseases in Asian populations over the past 20 years. Both incidence and prevalence rates have shown a notable rise, but people still do not think of small intestinal infections as a cause of their gastrointestinal tract symptoms. But this might soon change, as new technological advancements to diagnostic techniques and equipment have led to an approach that is bound to revolutionize how surgeons go about properly assessing and treating gastrointestinal diseases. Dr. Kong San Chun, Head of Department and Senior Consultant, Department of Gastroenterology and Hepatology, Sengkang General Hospital, performed the first motorized spiral enteroscopy in Southeast Asia, which allows for a more thorough examination of the small intestine, as surgeons can now examine the whole length of the small intestine, which is up to 5 meters long, and reach the furthest point of the small intestine in 30 minutes. This saves surgeons a lot of time, where in the past two separate three-hour procedures would be required to do the exact same procedure. The shorter procedure time and more effective diagnostic abilities sets the stage for faster, safer and more efficient procedure for patients. Money FM 89.3 is proud to welcome Dr. Kong San Chun, Head of Department and Senior Consultant, Department of Gastroenterology and Hepatology, Sengkang General Hospital, to basically tell us everything about this. Why, first of all, Doctor, is there this growth in the number of gastrointestinal diseases in Asian populations?
Thank you for having me, Clarissa. There are multifactorial reasons for this. Mm-hmm. One is that we are eating more processed food. Mm-hmm. There's less home cooking. Mm-hmm. And in a way, we are now choosing quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. Now, with processed food, the World Health Organization has classified some of these as class 1 carcinogens. Mm-hmm. That means they're the same group as smoking that can cause cancer. Mm-hmm. So like processed meat, like pepperoni, burgers, sausages.
Oh, I love those.
I'm sorry. Everything in moderation. Everything in moderation. And also, it is now very easy to order food to your home, mm-hmm, compared to, sure, previously. Previously, we would maybe celebrate with ordering food or, mm-hmm, going out to a fast food outlet. Right. Now you can have it delivered to your home.
Every day.
Every day. I mean, we have seen not only fast food outlet delivering processed food, mm-hmm, but we have seen private hire companies with their personnel in green uniforms, mm-hmm, pink uniforms that deliver foods at all time of the night. Interestingly enough, you can get more variety of beers delivered to your home, mm-hmm, up to 3 a.m. in the morning, mm-hmm, than you can get salad from midnight.
I take it you have an issue with that. Because we're not eating very... So basically what you're saying is because of our dietary habits and how that's shifted, that is why there is this growth in gastrointestinal diseases.
That's part of the reasons, yes.
Okay. Are there lifestyle situations that cause these rises in percentages?
Yes. The other thing is we have become a more sedentary group of people. Mm-hmm. Okay? And we know that exercise is very good and healthy, sure, because it triggers good chemicals in your body that makes you healthy. Mm-hmm. The other thing as well, optimal weight is very good for people. As, mm-hmm, you know, as we get heavier and we increase our weight and we, mm-hmm, become overweight and obese, we get a lot of other associated health problems.
Right.
Not only gastrointestinal problems, but heart diseases as well.
Okay.
And they have been associated with GI symptoms and also, unfortunately, various types of cancer.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how do these digestive tract symptoms develop? What are we looking for now?
Right. So there are always the common symptoms, things like the burping, mm-hmm, the passing of flatus, feeling bloated. Most of these are generally harmless. Obviously, sometimes depending on our diet, there could be a change in bowel habit. It could be increased frequency or you could get more constipated.
Okay.
A change in the texture of the stool. Mm-hmm. But the thing to remember is that most of these are harmless, but there are certain red flag symptoms that we need to look out for. things like inability to finish your meal that you would normally be able to. You have problems swallowing. You have pain in your tummy and your abdomen despite treatment. Change in the bowel habit, but associated with change in the texture of your stool and blood in your stool. These are all very worrying symptoms that you need to consult a medical doctor.
Okay, what could be causing that then? If you're saying that these are the symptoms, and assuming an individual is suffering from some of those symptoms, what could be the problem once they come and see you?
Right. Obviously, as to every consultation, we need to take a history to ascertain when it occurred. Was it sudden? And there are other red flag symptoms like unintentional weight loss. Any other risk factors like a family history, any lifestyle predisposition factors like smoking, alcohol intake. What we then do is we examine the patient to see if there's any physical abnormality. And then we may then advise the patient on the relevant investigations to try and investigate their symptoms further. What we are looking for is things like possibly infection, inflammation, growth of any type. Because growth not necessarily just mean cancer, but it can also be polyps in your intestine as well.
Right, that would be better than cancer.
It's usually precancerous. Yes, you're correct. You're correct.
Maybe you can explain this to me because I'm not understanding. I think it's a great achievement that you were the first to perform this procedure in Southeast Asia. But from a medical point of view, why was that important?
Right. A lot of people are very familiar with the scopes to look into the stomach, called a gastroscopy or OGD or endoscopy, and also scopes to look into the large intestine to look for cancer or polyps or change in the bowel habit. Now, less people are familiar with the fact that the small intestine can also cause all types of symptoms as well. Small intestine, as you mentioned earlier on, could be between 3 to 5 meters long, depending on the gender, the race, the physicality of the person, i.e. is the person big in size or small in stature. Now, previously, it required 2 telescope tests to usually visualize the whole length of the small intestine. So it was, we have to start from the mouth, go down as deep as we can, place a marker there, and then do a second procedure from the bottom and go all the way up to try and find a marker that was found previously. So the top part, the procedure could take 2 to 3 hours, and the bottom part could take 2 to 3 hours. So a total of up to 6 hours may be required to examine the whole small intestine.
Right.
Whereas with the new motorized spiral enteroscopy, in our first case in Sengkang General Hospital, we managed to go from the mouth all down the length of the small intestine to the part where it joined the large intestine in just 30 minutes.
Okay, so a much faster way of exploring what the problems might be, but also better for the patient.
That's right. So obviously it's a shorter procedure.
Am I assuming this is under GA?
Right, you're correct. For the first early cases, as it's a new technique, we're all doing it under general anesthesia or heavy sedation. But these are all done under the anesthetic supervision. The other thing is not only do we use it for diagnostic purposes, we are now using it for therapeutic purposes as well.
Oh, okay. And what are you looking for when you're going through the small intestine? What could be problems in the small intestine?
Right. We are looking for causes of possibly inflammation. Now, inflammation could be just idiopathic. What means is just that your own body is causing the inflammation itself.
Right.
So you get things like Crohn's disease that could happen and will need biopsies for that for analysis. You could get infection, and infection could be due to bacteria like tuberculosis, parasites like worms, and also it could be due to viruses that can cause inflammation. All these to separate which is the actual cause, we will need biopsies for further analysis. Also, sometimes people get pain and they might be losing blood, it might be anemic, but we don't really find the cause of the bleeding after the scopes into the stomach and the large intestine. So then we have to consider whether it's coming from a small intestine.
Right.
Ulcers can develop in the small intestine, and it could be due to something we ate or sometime the medicine we we take, like mm-hmm. traditional medicine, herbal, or sometimes aspirin, which is widely used, sometimes has a predisposition to cause ulcers as well. Also, although it's rare, but there are also cancers in the small intestine that we will need biopsies to prove, and rare cancers of the white cell called lymphoma can mm-hmm. occur in the small intestine. Polyps could bleed and could cause pain as well. And occasionally, we also find cancer of the small intestine, like growth, as you would.
Okay, so it sounds like quite a wide spectrum of what you could find in there. It could be something very simple, like maybe an infection that you can deal with fairly easily, or cancer, which is on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, you're correct. The good thing about the motorized spiral enteroscopy is that if we find something like this, I mentioned, like a polyp, mm-hmm. what we can do is we can do therapy to it, or if there's a bleeding ulcer, we can do therapy to it to stop it from bleeding. Mm-hmm. In the old previous devices, what we were using balloons. Now, balloons, as you can appreciate, they're quite smooth, mm-hmm. the surface. So although we find a lesion, sometimes we are not able to stay stable in one position
right.
to develop, to allow us to treat the lesion itself. We may have to move back to the lesion after we find it to deliver the therapy. Whereas the spiral enteroscopy allows us to be in a very stable position.
So you can treat it.
So we can treat it, like take off the polyp mm-hmm. or stop the bleeding mm-hmm. in a timely, short time manner.
Okay, now I'm understanding why this is such a big deal. The average person who is going to indulge in the processed meat, a few drinks, they're not so healthy. What can they do to ensure a healthy small intestine, large intestine, and cut the risk of some of these situations that can arise with gastrointestinal disease?
Well, we live in a real world,
mm-hmm.
right? So to say that we're going to...
So everything in moderation.
That's right. You hit it right, the nail on the head. That everything in moderation, you know, enjoy your drinks, mm-hmm. not every day.
Sure.
Right? Enjoy the burgers, mm-hmm. enjoy the pizza with the pepperoni.
Right.
But also, you got to ensure that 90% of your time that you're eating a well-balanced diet of, let's say, maybe grilled chicken mm-hmm. without skin, a good amount of fruit and vegetables. And I think people will be surprised at how much fruit and vegetable you should consume. And the information is readily available on the Singapore Health Promotion website.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been research that showed that the single most proven food group that has been shown to decrease cancer, decrease heart problems, has been fiber, good fiber. So that goes back to our normal vegetable and fruits.
All right. Is there an age group, though, that is more at risk for gastrointestinal diseases?
It depends on the disease we are looking at.
Okay.
Things like Crohn's disease is a younger age group.
Okay.
Obviously, things like cancer is in a more elderly age group.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, things like ulcers that may be caused by medication like aspirin, it tends to be more the elderly age group because they may be taking their aspirin for heart problems or for their strokes already.
Okay. What should people do to avoid getting hit by gastrointestinal diseases? More exercise?
Lifestyle management.
Lifestyle management.
Yes.
So what are your top five recommendations for healthy lifestyle other than eating more fiber?
How long do we have?
Oh, we have a few minutes.
Right. Obviously, exercise.
Okay. How many times a week? Is there a magic number?
Well, you say that 3 times a week, moderate exercise mm-hmm. of at least half an hour.
Okay.
Again, there has been data to show. One thing that has more research in recent years is sleep.
Sleep?
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, Singaporeans in general are very sleep deprived.
That's right. That's right. So data has shown that Singapore is in the league where they are quite high up in the league of where they are sleep deprived.
Right.
So sleep has an impact, not just on your general feeling of tiredness, mm-hmm. but it also has impact on your gastrointestinal tract, on your heart, and the way your brain repairs itself
mm-hmm.
as well. You must also, because we are now living in an age where everything is a now time.
Sure.
So we are all encouraged to check our emails, our texts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to have a time where you actually have time for yourself to relax not only physically but also mentally is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the other thing that is important in addition to diet is you must eat at a regular time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, missing meals and eating once a day sometimes may suit people, but for most people, they might find that that might cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that we shouldn't rush what we enjoy. So we enjoy the food. We should take time to chew it, to enjoy the taste. Now, one of the things is that if we just gobble it down, we don't chew it properly, and we are talking, one, we are swallowing a lot of air. So you might end up that at the end of the meal, people burp a lot, or mm-hmm. they feel they're very bloated because mm-hmm. of the air swallowing, or they're passing a lot of flatus. Also, if you don't enjoy the food you are eating, you might consume more food than you actually need.
Right.
And in Singapore, we have this thing where they are called slim fat people. So mm-hmm. they might be slim mm-hmm. on the outside, but actually when you see the amount of fat that they actually have inside their body, it's actually higher than the recommended amount.
I see. So you're saying exercise, eat, take your time to eat proper regular meals, include a lot of fiber and sleep well. Did I get it right?
That's right. Well summarized.
Okay. I'm going to try to do that. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to try to do that as well. Dr. Kong San Chun, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us on Health Suite on Money FM 89.3 today.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.